Welcome to Pillar and Ground Podcast. I'm Will Nettleton, pastor of mission and worship here at LNPC, and this is a Pillar and Ground Confession episode where we seek to understand and apply the truths in our Westminster Confession of Faith. And we are continuing today in chapter 13 of the Confession on Sanctification. And I'm joined, as always, by Brian Salter, our lead pastor. And last time we looked at 13.1, looking at sanctification defined. And this time we're moving into paragraphs 2 and 3, where sanctification is more thoroughly described. So, Brian, anything you want to say kind of framing-wise before we jump in?
Well, I certainly think there's going to be a lot of overlap between what we talked about in 13.1. I mean, if you define something, you start describing it. Mm-hmm. But they do go into a little bit more depth of describing it. So some of this there may be some repetitiveness, because the confession has some repetitiveness. Mm. But I think it's important for us to consider. And I'll just read 13.2 before we go to 13.3.
Yep.
So this sanctification, although imperfect in this life, is affected in every part of man's nature. Some remnants of corruption still persist in every part, and so there arises a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh.
Okay, so we mentioned that this is a further unpacking of the last section. How would you just distinguish what the divines are doing in this paragraph compared to the last one?
I think in the previous paragraphs, they really are doctrinally defining sanctification so that we understand it in contrast to justification, so we properly understand, like you mentioned last time, who's doing the work. Mm. God's always prior, work out what's worked in. I think these next two sections, 13.2 and 13.3, are simply telling us how hard it is and that it's going to be arduous and that it's total.
Yeah.
If there's something called, total depravity, which we believe there is, there's also total sanctification where, and this gets into the next thing we're kind of aiming at, is sanctification is affected in every part of man's nature.
Right.
You mentioned in the last episode that benediction, the God of peace will himself will sanctify you completely, body and soul. Mm. Sanctification is arduous, it's hard, and is intended to impact every aspect of your life. Mm. So the thoroughness of it, along with the difficulty of it, I think is more what they're describing here. And it's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect your words. It's going to affect your physical life, your relational life, your vocational life. Like I said, if there's total depravity where sin affects every part, there's total sanctification. God's grace, salvation is going to touch every part of your life. Mm. Not perfectly. And they say that right away, although imperfect in this life. But pervasively and prevailingly, and it's going to be hard.
Yeah, let's talk about that aspect, because there are traditions, there are aspects of Christianity that would argue. You think of kind of the Keswick Holiness movement, some other ones that might say it is actually possible to no longer sin in this life, and Westminster refutes that. What's the Westminster kind of scriptural position refuting this idea of perfectionism?
Well, we heard it there, like we mentioned, although imperfect in this life, and then they go on to say some remnants of corruption persist in every part. Mm. Remnants of corruption in every part. Mm-hmm. That refutes the idea of perfectionism.
Yeah.
You have said it very well. Sanctification is deals with the power of sin, the dominion of sin over us. It breaks the power of sin, but it does not remove the presence of sin. That's glorification. That day's coming, but don't confuse glorification with sanctification. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Right there, he's saying, I haven't arrived. Mm-hmm. Sin isn't eradicated from me, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I find it very encouraging that one of Paul's last letters in 1 Timothy, He says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Mm-hmm. At the end of his journey, he sees himself as the foremost sinner. Why? Because he's not obtained it and has not been made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitive sanctification. God does see us as he sees Christ. Absolutely. Colossians asks you and commands us to set our hearts on things above in light of that definitive reality that you are hidden in Christ, and he sees you as that. But there's progressive sanctification, and it's imperfect and it's intense. It is what we call becoming who we are. So I am in Christ, and God does see me in Christ. But sanctification is becoming who I am definitively, and that is a tough, arduous journey. So you quoted John Murray in the last episode on the confession, but I love that he says, sin remains, but it no longer reigns.
That's really good.
I think in spite of all of our swerving and turning aside, what we understand, we're not perfectionism, but I mentioned the word prevailing. We're a ship, and we're going against a contrary wind, and it tosses and turns, but we have the course of our life set in sanctification, and that's toward God. And we haven't arrived. When we get home, present sin's going to be eradicated, but until then, it's present. Remnants of corruption persist in every part. It's almost like you should put that on your bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
Today I should know, as I go into work and to relate to my family, that remnants of corruption persist in every part. Though I'm saved, though I'm his, though I have the Holy Spirit, I'm set up for a fight.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot about we quoted this in the last episode, but Philippians 1:6 of, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Yes, this is glorification going to happen. When? At the day of Christ Jesus. Yes. It's not happening today. It will remain today. Yeah. I think it was Sproul that said, with perfectionism, there really is no way. I mean, I love that you pull out Paul talking at the end of his life, I'm the worst of sinners. I mean, he's the more, as he grows in grace, he also grows in his understanding of the depth of his sin. And there's really no way for you to believe that you could be perfect in this life without either overestimating yourself or underestimating the holiness of God's law. You will have to do one, probably That's both right. of those things. Yep. You're going to have to say, I'm better than I am, and the standards are lower than they are.
That's exactly right, Will.
But when you start to understand who you are and realize just how deep this thing goes, how much there is left to sanctify, you can't do that. I think
because we saw that with the rich young ruler.
Yes.
Just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
How in the world could he say, all these I've kept since my youth?
Yeah.
He had lowered the law. If you lower the law, you might try to claim some sort of perfectionism.
Yeah.
But if you see the law as God sees it, and then you actually get to know your heart, you know that's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is the standard. Is him. He's the standard, not we often look at other people and think, okay, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. So-and-so ain't the standard. God is the standard. Well, you talked about how difficult this is, about the war that engages every Christian. Talk a little bit more about what the confession calls that continual and irreconcilable war, the spirit against the flesh.
Isn't that a great description? Continual and irreconcilable war. And I think I've said it on here before, but as I've pastored for a while now and walk alongside older saints, and you see how ready they are to get home, I think it's because they've been in the fight so long. And they just want to be set free from the continual irreconcilable war. It's hard living. You know, sometimes maybe a family member says, I'm tired of living with you. It's hard. It's like, I'm tired of living with me. No, that's the irreconcilable continual war. Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. And we all are probably really familiar with The battle armor that's put on there, which is actually dressing in Christ, shows us who our principal enemy is, you know, the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the high places. Therefore, take up your whole armor. And, you know, it is, it really is arduous. To fight sin and seek holiness. I'm watching, we're watching Masters of the Air, which is kind of the third part of the Band of Brothers. They did the Pacific, and the Masters of the Air is about the 100th Bomber Squadron. It's brutal. And I mean, you just keep wanting the next episode to not be as brutal, but the war's not over. And so every episode is as bad as the previous one, if not harder and worse. And as I was watching, I was like, that's sanctification. I mean, you think today, surely today is going to be a day of rest from my sin. It's a battle. It's a fight. It's a fight of what Paul describes in Romans 7, which is I love that the confession proof text 13.2 with Romans 7, because it tells everybody that's Paul dealing with sin.
That's a redeemed Paul.
That's a redeemed Paul. Yeah. And if you find people that want to tell you Romans 7 is about pre-conversion, just stop reading them. I don't know how else to say
that's,
it.
I 100%
Romans 7, and we got the divines on our side. Romans 7 is the fight. What I want to do, I don't do. The right I want to do, I don't do. What I do want to do, I don't do. And finally, he just says, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, the angst of Romans 7, 18 through 23 is where we live. And I would say the encouragement is, if I read Romans 7, 18 through 23, and my heart goes, that's my life. Then you have some great comfort that you're in the fight. You know, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, by seeing my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. If I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He just describes the fight that you described last time with mortification and vivification, which led John Owen to say, since it's our duty to mortify sin, we must be at work. I love this. He that is appointed to kill an enemy, if he leaves striking before the other ceases living, does but half of its work. So mortification is indeed, as it said last week, it's a weakening of the lust, but they don't go away. And so I love that the confession really helpfully paints a picture of how hard this is.
Yes.
13.3, which we hadn't read, just says, although in this war the remaining corruption may strongly prevail for a time, yet through the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, the regenerate nature overcomes, and so the saints grow in grace, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. They end with hope.
I think it's, in our everyday experience, it's pretty common. We talked about this, you know, Paul gets to the end of his life and says, chief of sinners. And many of us, the longer that we walk with Jesus, feel like, I don't even know that I'm growing at all. Like, I don't know, you know, when you first become a Christian and you are like just on fire for the Lord and really you can't get enough of scripture, of time with God's people, you want to tell people about it. And then you walk a little bit longer with him and you like it starts to wane. And maybe you have seasons where it comes back, but many of us have those seasons, perhaps are in them right now, when we don't feel like we're growing, even though we are. How do we think about that reality of, okay, we are growing, it doesn't feel like we are. Maybe we're in one of those seasons where, you know, that you just read that the confession talks about that, you know, the flesh may have powerful, the remaining corruption may strongly prevail for a time. We may be going two steps back for a time before we go one step forward again. How do we think about that?
Well, I think most of us probably want to know pretty quickly, what's the time?
Yeah.
How long's the time? I don't know that we're really given that answer. I think two things. When you're not growing like you want, I think we should all think humbly and we should all think hopefully. Mm. We should all think humbly. Sanctification's not equal in everyone.
Right.
Some may grow more than others. Mm. And so don't look side to side. Look up. Look at your Heavenly Father. Stand before Christ. Sanctification is sure. He will do it, as that benediction says. Mm-hmm. But there may be areas in your life where you struggle, particularly where some other people around you that know Jesus don't. Mm. And we all need to think humbly about our sanctification. Mm. But the confession talks about the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ. And basically any war is lost on the supply lines. Mm-hmm. When you're in a battle and the supply's cut off, you're done. Mm. You know, when you read Civil War history, one of the things that doomed the Confederates was they didn't have shoes. Mm. Mm-hmm. Look, a troop without shoes is doomed. Mm-hmm. Christians, be encouraged. You have the continual supply of strength and sanctifying Spirit of Christ. You read war things and you think, well, they brought in the Navy to block the bringing in of goods off the eastern coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay, you block the supply. My ability to fight the war is significantly challenged. Good news of the confession, the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ. Mm. It will never run out. It is always present. The supply lines in this war cannot be compromised. Mm. And I think Bunyan pictures this in Pilgrim's Progress. When you go into the House of Interpreter, there's allegories. In the fourth one, the interpreter shows Christian's the main character in Pilgrim's Progress, a fire burning against a wall. And a person is standing there pouring water on it. But in spite of the water he's pouring on the fire, the flames continue to rise higher and higher. And the interpreter explains that the fire represents the work of grace in the believer's heart, which the devil is constantly trying to quench. And then he leads Christian to the other side of the wall, where Christian sees another constantly pouring oil on the fire, causing it to burn hotter. And this individual picture is the picture of Christ. It's the picture of the Holy Spirit, who continually with the oil of his grace maintains the work already begun in the heart. So that's the hope. No matter how much you feel like it's water on the fire, the Spirit is pouring oil into the work of grace. The fire will not go out. Mm. It is infused with oil of the Holy Spirit, so it will never extinguish. I love that picture in Interpreter's House, and I think it really aims at the supply line that we have in the battle.
Yeah, that as hard as the war is, it really is won. The war is won. I mean, to go back to that, we've been using a lot of war imagery in this one, but you know, thinking about after D-Day, do you think, I mean, all of a sudden that the war is basically over, but like the Germans didn't stop fighting. Mm. And like you can almost imagine backed into a corner, like the fighting could have gotten much more intense in some places of somebody who knows they have their back against the wall and is coming up fighting. The devil's doing that. You know, it's not like he's unaware of what the resurrection means. Mm-hmm. And so he's going down clawing at everyone. And yet we know in the end, however much back and forth there will be here, that God is victorious. He's
what
he started.
You know, I think what you mentioned there, it's really helpful to know the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying find the devil behind every door, but the battle is against unseen forces.
Yeah.
There are angels, there are demons, there are the forces of the king, there are the forces of darkness. And it's really helpful sometimes to just stop when you're feeling the battle and to say, I think this is the other team. Mm-hmm. And then to look to the supply lines of the Holy Spirit and say, I know you won't let up. You're going to give me the strength to do what needs to be done. Because sometimes we think the opponent is another person, might be your spouse or a coworker or a friend. You think it's their problem. They're the enemy. Mm-hmm. I think part of this arduous war is realizing who the enemy is.
Right.
And then realizing we are fighting a battle where the supply lines will never be in question.
Yep.
That's good news for a soldier.
Right.
Very good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. Any final thoughts on sanctification as we turn towards saving faith next time?
Well, we're going to grow. He's going to do it. It's going to feel like war.
Yeah. I mean, I think about every hard thing you... I can't remember who said this in my life when I was, maybe it was when I was caught in college, but just like everything worth doing is hard. You think about you, those who have been athletes, who have trained, like working out is hard. Building muscle is hard. And yet it's good. The end result is a really good thing.
Getting out of shape is easy.
It's easy. It's so easy.
It's the easiest
thing. We can attest.
I can attest. Absolutely.
So I just think that is sanctification, our work in it. Yes, of course it's hard. And it's good. Mm-hmm. And it is worth it because Jesus is worth it. And that's
right.
The image that we're being made into. And he is the one who is our supply line. And will get us all the way home.
That's right.
Really good. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Pillar and Ground. We hope you'll join us for future episodes.